Hello, and welcome to The Alchemist with Isis Jade, the keys to living your very best life in alignment with your mind, body, and spirit. My name is Isis Jade, and I am delighted that you are here. I am the formulator behind Alchemist Co. and Warrior Relief, two brands focused on helping people use bioenergized products to help you live your very best life. I am an alignment coach, licensed spiritual counselor, holistic medicine practitioner, author, clairvoyant, and energy alchemist. I have over a dozen certifications in various healing arts, and I also carry PhDs in bioenergetics, holistic medicine, and traditional naturopathy, and I've written over 10 books. This podcast is full of immediate strategies that you can apply today to help you bring yourself back into full alignment and live your very best life, fully embodied in mind, body, and spirit, through a variety of holistic tools, including energy healing, aromatherapy, herbs, naturopathic processes, secret universal laws, visualization tips, how to break any bad habit fast, and how to completely reframe your entire self-concept and more. So if you are ready for your total mind, body, and spirit level up, then brilliant soul, you're in the right place. Now, this week, I wanted to continue our discussion from a couple weeks ago and talk to you more about the path towards becoming a goddess. And we talked about also a secret superpower that goddesses have access to that you can employ to supercharge your life from within with unbelievable results, even so much as reversing aging, reversing depression, and reversing all sorts of manners of experiences that you've had. This week, I want to move beyond all that lighthearted banter and start to question you and challenge you to go deeper this week. We're taking a turn along this path to embark upon the journey of self-love through the process of healing our toxic thoughts about ourselves and about other women. Becoming a goddess is a journey, and it's all about discovering your inner feminine power and experiencing it with all its glorious essences, and then allowing that to overflow into all areas of your life. Now, in my wacky and wild universe out here in Isis land, we are all goddesses. However, not every woman realizes that she was born already a goddess. Most of us are consumed with this idea that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we are small, that we are weak in some way. And we are filled and consumed with these negative things around self-doubt, filled with fear, filled with toxic thoughts about ourselves, about our body image, about us as women. And we often end up feeling over the course of our lives victimized and violated. And these are the two V words that I really don't enjoy talking too much about, but they are really important V words when we talk about how we talk to ourselves, how we talk about other people, how we blame other people for our circumstances and experiences in life, or even how we blame the misogynistic patriarchal realm out there. So it's really important that we talk about this from a holistic perspective, especially when we're dealing with learning how to repattern and reprogram our toxic thoughts, especially about our physical body image, but also around ourselves as women. The path to embracing your sacred goddesshood, now I believe, it requires a willingness to delve into your whole self and really start to get to know all aspects of who and what you truly are. Now basically, I'm talking about examining both your light aspects of yourself and your shadow aspects of yourself from all angles. And it is this kind of deep inner soul journeying that enables you to peel back all the layers that no longer serves you and allows you to reveal your light for all to see. This also requires a willingness to see yourself in the most divine, sacred, and beautiful light, in spite of your flaws, in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your strengths, in spite of anything that you think is a problem with you. It requires you to embark upon a journey of self-full love, what some people call selfish love, but I call it self-full. And I mean filling yourself up with so much love for yourself and for others that it can't help but pour out into every aspect of your life. That's what I mean, self-full, as opposed to selfless. Because when we are selfless in our service and in our gratitude to others, we're dropping ourself, our ego, behind and being selfless, meaning we have no self when we embark upon that journey. However, when we talk about love, I really want to talk about it from a position of self-fulfilling love, fulfilling your needs and getting your needs met from within, fulfilling yourself up from within and not looking outside of yourself for answers and for reasons for being and for direction or for guidance, but always looking to yourself from within. It also requires you to look at yourself and all aspects of yourself without judgment, without critique, but to look upon yourself with that unconditionality that you are an emanation of pure, perfect potential, pure self-fulfilling love. Now, this journey into laying claim to your divine sacred goddesshood really requires a great amount of courage to be willing to shine your own divine light out onto the shadowy areas of yourself and your life. By meeting your shadow side and lovingly accepting her for all she is, understanding what she's there to do for you, what she's there to teach you, how she's there to guide you, by stepping into her and embracing all of her, this is really the only way I know to reclaim those lost, shattered, or fractured pieces of yourself, your soul, of your pure, divine, sacred, feminine nature. There are some really great practices that can empower you to embark upon this journey, and some of them are included in yoga, meditation, spending time in nature, spending time in women's circles, reading goddess books or other spiritual books, regardless of your religion or spiritual affinity. These experiences and practices can really bring out the nature, your spiritual nature, your feminine nature back to wholeness. Stepping into yourself and taking time to get to know yourself, this type of self-journeying, of self-exploration, it's really the only way I know to reclaim yourself. Honestly, regardless, like I said, regardless of your religion or your spiritual affinity, this quest to reclaiming our psyche, our nature, our wholeness, our spirit, to filling those empty places that we find within ourselves, and to bringing ourselves out into our full glory and our full light, it is the ultimate quest of every man, of every woman, and of every child. Ultimately, your journey into reclaiming your innate goddess nature is really all about self-respect and doing whatever you need to do or to be whatever you need to be in order to honor, nurture, and care for your sacred self in a loving manner so that you can start feeling her and emanating out your true, authentic spirit from within and allowing that to shine out. I believe that in order for a woman to truly look into a mirror and see herself as beautiful, as divine, as glorious goddess, she must be willing to release all the chains of negativity, all the binds, all the former paradigms of seeing herself through male eyes and seeing herself through masculine eyes, of seeing herself through a patriarchal society. She must pull back all of the curtains and pull back all of the shades and all the shadows and all the glasses that she uses to judge herself and criticize herself. She must indeed look in the mirror and see herself through her own feminine eyes. So with this being said, my first advice to you is to really start looking at goddess imagery and symbology and reading some goddess mythology. Now, this might sound contrite and simple, but really, it's partially looking into seeing in between the lines, meditating and relaxing with this symbology and with this mythology. Because between the lines, there are deeper meanings. In every story, there is a dichotomy. Within every story, there is a deeper meaning to be had for you, a deeper parable. And I really think, and I really believe, and I've had this experience personally, has a very powerful effect on women when we embark into learning from other cultures or learning from our past or learning from our ancestors' past, especially beyond the 5,000-year-old patriarchal system that's in place today. There is a deep resonance and a remembrance that happens, that transpires and transcends the time, transcends the past, and embraces us in the future. We start to realize that millions of women led up to where we are today and who we are today, and that we are a culmination of millions of women's hopes and dreams and rituals and practices and mysticism and mysteries and inner considerations and struggles to survive and struggles for their children, their hopes, their wishes. We are that culmination. So by looking up on these images on the internet, looking and delving into the mythology of goddesses, we're actually delving into the history of woman. We're delving into her story rather than his story. His story, which is publicly promoted through our educational system and publicly touted as the real story. It's not the whole story. It's not even a fraction of the whole story. By delving into the history and past, we can better inform ourselves of our future and our present. You can also go to a museum that has sculptures of goddesses from around the world. I'm lucky and blessed to have an Egyptian museum right here in San Jose that has some exquisite Isis sculptures of the Egyptian goddesses, as well as Greek interpretations of the Egyptian goddesses. When you start to reconnect with the goddess imagery that's around from our ancient history, you can begin to ask yourself what you are drawn to. Is it her inner strength? Is it her confidence? Is it her mystery? Is it her sensuality? Is it her open arms and her protective nature? Her laser focus in accomplishing what she sets out to do? Her peaceful disposition? Her wisdom? Her willingness to teach and heal her people? Every goddess is formulated and founded upon a real person. This is something most people don't tell you. We can all strive to become more like goddesses in our daily living, in our daily lives. When you start to identify what goddesses you feel most drawn to, you can then claim those qualities as your own qualities, because they are your qualities. When we start to listen to our inner yearnings and our inner intuition about who we're most drawn to, thinking to be like, or feeling like we want to call her into our life, it will help you remember that you are already a goddess with your own innate, unique, amazing talents and gifts, your own innate abilities and capabilities. And you can call on those gifts and powers at any moment. Now, my other piece of advice to you is to begin hanging around women in a community or in a circle who already begin to see you as a divine light, as a highly capable goddess in her own right. This will stimulate your courage, your self-confidence, and your capacity to take on your dreams. It will also stimulate you to change aspects in your life that aren't serving you for your highest and best good. And finally, this will also awaken within you that inner latent goddess power, that infinite intelligence, that infinite wisdom, to empower yourself, to see yourself in the same goddess life when you look at yourself every morning and every evening as you wash your face before you go to bed. I feel that goddess energy really has to do with a paradigm shift where we stop thinking toxic thoughts, stop feeling toxic feelings, and stop judging with toxic judgments and critiques, both of ourselves and of other women. The paradigm shift where our feminine characteristics become deeply honored, respected, and valued. Our softness is allowed to shine through. We lose the hard edge and this need to compete or this need to be validated. And we become softer, gentler, more sublime, more sensuous, more exotic, more mysterious, and much more desired. For so long, women have been measuring themselves through the limited eyes of a largely patriarchal, masculine-oriented paradigm where we aren't honored, valued, or respected unless we are the ideal that men look up to. And yet it is in that infinite shift where we embrace our whole feminine self from a position of confidence and capacity to achieve from within, that men will begin to respect you and look up to you. For as long as you play a man in a man's world and yet you're a woman, you will be looked down upon by men and women. But the minute you step into your sensual goddess nature, the minute you step into your ultimate feminine nature, the minute you step into your goddesshood, you immediately begin to command the respect, the honor, the love, the appreciation, the affection of others around you. Coming from a perspective where men and the masculine are currently the dominating power and have been for the last 5,000 years, and women and the feminine are the underclass, the objects of ownership and enslavement, the objects to be traded. Even today, we still trade our last names for theirs. It's no wonder that women feel terrible about who they are innately, because it's in our religious system, it's in our education system, it's in our society, it's in our television, it's in our movies, that if we're not everything and all that in a bucket of chips and more, then we are nothing. If we are not competitive and agile and capable and skinny and big tits and big butt with a skinny waist or anorexic, or we don't look model rail thin with a pixie nose and perfect hair and perfect skin and perfect teeth, then we are to be rated lower with those things, physical attributes. As women, we often feel we'll never measure up to the impossible standards set by such a patriarchal system, because we're not men. And yet we're not exactly our whole feminine self. We're supposed to be half men or lesser than men or kowtow to the man or lower than the man. And we're not meant to thrive in such a system. We're meant to be secondary. We're meant to be the reward or the award awarded to men for their pursuits in the patriarchal system. And yet we're seeing more and more of our society inversing polarities and balancing itself out. And we're also seeing more and more men feeling out of place in such a system. Men who embrace more of their feminine aspects and feel that they don't have a place in such a system either. That they'd like to be more collaborative and less competitive. That they'd like to turn away from the driving force of war and anger and frustration and come into a place of being collaborative and connected and spiritual and honor the sacred feminine. It's an amazing shift that we're in the middle of. It's truly incredible. The patriarchal system, the feminine characteristics are given secondary value by both men and women. And in the feminine-oriented system, or matriarchal-oriented system, masculine values are inversed and are secondary value. What we're looking to create is more of a balanced paradigm, so that we can set ourselves up for positive experiences and positive attributes of and balancing both our own inner masculine and feminine energies, so that when we do come together as gods and goddesses, that we're able to co-create and co-manifest at a much more rapid and capable place than by doing so ourselves and limping and struggling. Masculine and feminine energies don't relate to sex. They don't relate to sexual identification in any way. They don't relate to anything more than how you identify yourself. You may be a woman, but you might identify yourself more with Adonis or Zeus than you do with Isis or Aphrodite, and that's perfectly acceptable. And same with men. You know, there are many men out there who are much more embracive of their ethereal feminine nature than they are their masculine nature, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Well, when the system is set up for us to look down on ourselves and other women, or ourselves and other feminine characteristics and aspects, when it's set up for us to feel toxic and be toxic to ourselves and other women, and also be incredibly hard and measure ourselves up to outside external standards, we end up feeling empty, needy, and desperate and clingy, Because in a patriarchal system, we're taught that feminine values and strengths are really weaknesses and are impoverished ways of thinking and being. And again, the dichotomy and the inverse of this is also true, where in a matriarchal system, masculine values and strengths are really considered weaknesses and impoverished. So we need a balanced point of view. However, in order to become balanced, we as women need to learn to honor our own feminine aspects, our own feminine nature. And after 5,000 years of indoctrination into a patriarchal system, it's not something that we change overnight, unless we choose to. This is something that's going to be an ongoing lifelong experience and journey for you as a woman. The first step to doing this is to turn our thoughts and feelings inside out and examine how we are raised to believe and what it is we truly believe about ourselves and about one another. You see, in a world where over 70% of the world's impoverished are women and children, and over 80% of the world's 27 million slaves are women and children, where over 50% of people who are trafficked into slavery are being sold into sexual servitude around the world are women and children, we have to take a stand and make change happen in this world, here and now, not just for ourselves, but for women and children everywhere. And that begins when we begin to make changes within ourselves. So how do we do that, right? This is what you're asking. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we can change our inner dynamic and allow it to reflect into our external world is by honoring, respecting, and valuing our innate feminine nature, by monitoring how we feel and what we're thinking about. And if we're feeling lacking in an area, angry or bitter or frustrated or violated or victimized, we need to look at what we're thinking about and why we're triggering those feelings. It begins by healing our toxic thoughts and developing a more compassionate language in describing ourselves and describing our needs. You see, by choosing thoughts and feelings that honor our innate nature and honor other women, we're able to influence a greater shift and change. By choosing to release our programs and beliefs that do not serve us as women, we are then able to step beyond and enable and empower change for other women and their children everywhere. When we reclaim ourselves as goddesses, we will also find a natural softening to the hard edges of our masculine judgmental nature and our criticism that's trained into us from a very early age. We will be able to reside more within the softer, more ethereal sides of ourselves, the more compassionate side of ourselves, while still being fully connected to our deep inner strength and wisdom. Now, we're on our way to balancing those feminine and masculine energies within ourselves and within the world, but we still have a long, long way to go. You do not change 5,000 years of indoctrination and slavery and servitude and objectification and ownership in simply a generation or two. It takes a long time. It takes a great deal of effort, and it takes a great deal of work and perseverance, and it begins from within. And that sounds like a lot. It sounds very overwhelming. I understand. But begin within. Erect a small influence, a small change in your corner of the world. Become a goddess as a way of influencing your feminine nature and influencing other people's feminine nature. Become a feminist by becoming a goddess. I know a lot of people think feminism is some kind of a toxic joke, or they think that employing certain aspects of the goddess is actually negating their feminine idealistics. But feminism doesn't have to be about confrontation. It doesn't have to be confrontational. And it doesn't have to be about being an angry woman. Feminism can be embracing all aspects of your glorious goddess nature and involving yourself in your own women's path of spirituality and carving and cultivating a journey that honors, respects, and is beloved by you, and is compassionate for you. Now, I want to talk about negative body image around women and girls. In some ways, it's gotten really terrible. It's gotten really bad. I was on YouTube the other day, and I was just listening to so many of these women, so many of these teen girls just complain about so much, and they're wearing so much makeup. It's unbelievable. There's such a negative energy there, and talking such negative drivel about other women and girls out there. I don't think they realize just how damaging their energy, and they're damaging to themselves and to other women. And the amount of damage they're doing to women and themselves as a whole. Plastic surgery is on a rise. It's just going crazy out there. It's one of the biggest growing industries there is here in America and in other parts of the world. With all the plastic surgery that's going on for women and girls, and at such a young age, children as young as 14 getting breast implants, as young as 14 getting nose jobs, as young as 14 doing chemical peels and surgical implants and things like that into their cheeks and lips, and getting tummy tucks and jobs and butt lifts and liposuction, our body image must be getting worse. That's all I can think. Gosh, must be getting worse. However, at the same time, while I believe that it is getting worse for some women out there, I see that it is also a body image is improving for many other women who are embracing a woman's oriented spirituality or goddess oriented spirituality. For as they learn how to claim themselves as true goddesses, they know, they come to understand that goddesses come in all shapes and sizes with unique gifts, abilities, strengths, and aptitudes. Real goddesses know this. The term goddess isn't even come close to the same thing as diva. So when we're talking about goddesses, don't think that we're talking about divas or diva-ness, the diva aspect of stardom. It's nothing like that. A goddess is an ethereal energy. It is embracing our gifts and aptitudes and talents and using them for greater good, but also using them for our own greater good as well. Well, we don't come into this idea as a diva starlet where, you know, everything has to go our own way or anything. This is much more of a collaborative, oriented, ancient energy that is much more powerful and much more dynamic than simply diva energy. We are currently starting to leave the diva paradigm behind, and we're stepping into a new age where there's this overall softening that comes with being naturally and mysteriously feminine, which is being honored and celebrated, and that the natural sensuality of feminine mystery is becoming much more sought after than the heightened idea of physical perfection and chopping ourselves up into little tiny bits and pieces until there's not a whole heck of a lot left. Now, I've discovered along my own personal journey that the more we look for our feminine gifts on the inside, the better things we'll get in terms of our own body image, our own confidence, and also in terms of our entire lives. When we feel better about our physical experience, and that includes our body, we instantly feel better about the world around us, so we no longer step into a judgmental paradigm. Oh, look at her nose, it's so ugly. Or look at her butt, it's so huge. We don't do that. We don't feel the need to do that. We step beyond that, and we embrace that woman by going, oh my gosh, look at that artistic talent she's been able to weave, or oh my goodness, look at the wisdom that she's distilling. Oh my gosh, I love this author. She's incredible. And oh my goodness, we celebrate each other. When we step outside of the judgmental paradigm and the feeling like we're lacking something, so we have to judge everyone on those same merits of which we're finding ourselves falling short, we become a much more honored, and we also honor others. We celebrate ourselves as well as celebrating others. And we become much more spontaneous and impetuous, I might add. There, just like in other aspects of in a patriarchal system, there is a huge judgment as far as women's body type that comes through. I was actually really shocked about someone's posts on Facebook the other day. But this one gentleman was going on and on about how he loved anorexic women and really thin women, and that any woman who had even an ounce of fat on her were just so ugly and so toxic and they just shouldn't exist. I mean, it was just this weird, horrifying, male-oriented narrow-mindedness. And, you know, I was thinking about how we could shift and change those perspectives for men. And I think one of the ways we shift and change those perspectives for men is by shifting and changing our own perspectives. So much judgment comes through the patriarchal system as far as women's body types go. all prevalent through women's TV shows, where some crazy ideal is upheld, women's magazines, designers, women's beauty experts. I mean, they're everywhere, and they're all derived from a thoroughly masculine-oriented perspective. And also just, and even the masculine perspective, it's not even a whole masculine perspective, but it itself is a subversion of a masculine perspective. And this happens even if it comes from a woman. There's so much judgment. There's so much critique. Oh, she needs a boob job. Oh, she needs a tummy tuck. Oh my God, look at what those kids did to her body. It's horrifying. Now, I'm not saying that it should be honored and respected when you use food or use drugs or use anything as an addiction in order to soothe yourself emotionally. But I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about that we need to continually celebrate each other from a sacred, divine, feminine perspective, regardless of our body type, regardless of the illnesses that we're suffering from, regardless of the issues we're dealing with. We still need to come from a much more softer perspective, a much more gentler perspective. We need to be more accepting of ourselves, of our own faults, as well as the faults of others. It's such a vital thing. If you can be open and accepting and embracing of all without worrying so much about judgment, they're automatically much more accepting and open of you. It just happens. So if you're being judgmental, if you're being narrow-minded, you need to think about how you're saying things. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, that's not good enough. Oh, it's terrible. But what are you really saying about yourself? Continually celebrating each other from a sacred, divine approach means loving every woman's body type. It may not be attractive to you, but you can accept that that's the energy and the vitality that that woman is dealing with. And you don't know until you walk into another woman's house or into another woman's life or walk in her shoes, what it's like for her, what illnesses she's suffering with privately, what travesties and tragedies she's experienced in her life. You don't have any right to judge another. Nobody's given you that permission or that right. It's not for you to judge unless you want to be judged yourself. So step into an openness, an embracing of all, and allow them to embrace you just as you are. So we love every woman's body, including our own bumps, our own curves, and our own natural appeal, and our own beautiful strengths, and our own beautiful weaknesses. And we don't worry so much about what we might look like to others. We don't have to. Our bodies contain within them the mystery of creation of thousands and thousands of thousands of years, combined with the eons of deep, ethereal wisdom of the universe. If we're rejecting our body because we believe we do not fit some ridiculous, inane physical stereotype of this moment, some anorexic supermodel body type that some designer or some magazine editor decided to hold up as some elite standard in order to sell more clothes or more ad space or more makeup or more miraculous creams, we're disconnecting from our eternal, our ethereal, our beautiful natures, our infinite natures. If we do this, if we try to find happiness by fitting some physical perfection or physical pursuit of something, rather than continually working on ourselves from within, if we're continually trying to find happiness by fitting into someone else's ideals, someone else's views on the world, or someone else's opinions or judgments, we don't even stand the chance of balancing out this world, much less making it a better place for people in the future, or much less our children, our family. We don't even stand a chance to make an impact and a difference because we're so obsessed about our looks and our this and that and our clothes and this and that and our shoes. Oh my gosh. We can't make a difference in the and make an impact on the lives of those who are suffering if that's all we're focusing on. A goddess knows that she's innately beautiful just as she is. She knows she's innately sensual just as she is. She's not worried about how she emanates out into the physical world. Not that level. She's much more worried about other things, higher evolved thinking and doing. Now it is going to take a huge global movement of women stepping up and reclaiming their sexuality and their sensuality from the inside out, reclaiming their personal power, of reclaiming their innate, raw, sensual spirituality, of claiming their kundalini energy, of claiming their vibrance, of claiming their inner goddesshood. It's not going to come through some masculine-oriented standards that were set for you. It will only come from setting your own standards, getting clear on what those standards are, drawing a new line in the sand, and no longer shall you stand for that or this or the other, but you stand for something deeper, more profound, and more powerful in your life. It comes from taking that time out and saying, I will no longer worry about those thoughts. I will no longer judge myself or critique myself based on some nascent little paradigm that I was taught to believe in early on in life. I make a choice to believe what I choose to believe. I make a choice to follow a path that I've set for myself as a goddess. I choose to embrace my own goddesshood and embrace the goddesshood of other women. I choose to look within and see the pure potential of that person, no matter who I'm speaking to or talking to. Creating a huge global movement of women, stepping up and reclaiming their goddess power and awakening the goddess within, that's going to set the tone and the change for our world. That is what it's going to take. And that's going to come from women learning to support and honor and love each other, and also from supporting, honoring, and loving themselves from within and going on that inner self journey towards awakening. Our societies will become more enlightened when we embrace both aspects of ourselves, our inner gorgeous goddess, feminine, divine, sacred aspect of ourselves that's long been neglected for over 5,000 years, as well as creating a healthy masculine paradigm that isn't trying to support a crumbling architecture and a crumbling facade that is subverting and diseasing our innate masculine energies. But it's by honoring and blending the two together that we will become whole and we will be able to heal others. And we will leave behind this belief that women are in some way less than men or just smaller versions of men, or that women are trying to uphold themselves to some innate and weird standard, or that women are angry and bitter people, or that women are incapable after they reach a certain age, or that they just should be discarded. Women will tire of trying to contort themselves and turn themselves inside out in order to fit some strange, bizarre physical anomaly that some person once upon a time decided to set as a standard. We will come out into the world shining with all aspects of ourselves, of all different sizes, all different shapes, all different levels of aptitudes and capacities, all different talents, all different abilities, all different levels. And we will be embracing of each other and ourselves wholly and beautifully as the unique, magical, miraculous, amazing, beautiful, creative goddesses that we are. Yeah, it will get better, much better. After a few generations of loving, balancing, and honoring ourselves and one another as goddesses and embracing a much more balanced spiritual perspective on every aspect of our life. Healing our toxic thoughts from within comes from embracing ourselves, loving ourselves unconditionally, honoring ourselves and our body image, losing the judgment, dropping the judgment, and looking to fulfill our needs from within. And finally, it also comes from awakening that deeper, hidden aspect of ourselves that has laid latent and asleep for so many years.
Thank you for listening to today's show, The Alchemist with Isis Jade. If you are intrigued by the strategies and products discussed, you can visit me on my website at alchemistco.com to purchase the world's only certified organic bioenergized tools, including aromatherapy, natural perfumes, skincare, protection sprays, emotional healing, and so much more. That's alchemistco.com. Now, to get access to our bioenergized pain relief line, you can find those on warrior-relief.com. You can also find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. Just type in Alchemist Co. and follow me there. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to get access to our weekly podcast, receive updates and information about our latest products, guided meditation, books, and courses, and get in on our VIP offers not available to the general public. Thank you so much for listening. Have a most delightful and wonderful day out there, living your very best life.